That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Ah, yes. Welcome to the first ever in-season edition of Overreaction Monday, the podcast. I am your humble host, Rich Eisen, along with my colleague and friend and compadre and overreactor extraordinaire, Chris Brockman. Good to see you, Christopher.
Rich, we're back. Sunday was so awesome.
I know. The first NFL Sunday, a terrific weekend of college football as well. So much to overreact to, which we in the media actually just did with a three-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show that included the segment version of Overreaction Monday, from which this entire podcast was born. We had Chris Long of Greenlight Podcast fame. He's our every Monday guest on the Rich Eisen Show, where we play Overreaction Monday for you to listen to and watch on the Roku channel. We appreciate everybody downloading this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and more. All 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show is there all the time as well. And this was born out of us having conversations coming off of football games or texting one another as friends with TJ and Del Tufo and the rest of the crew. Overreacting to stuff because the NFL is a knee-jerk sport, for sure. You know?
Well, Rich, I literally did it yesterday, 40 minutes apart.
You did.
I wanted Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley to be the quarterback and new head coach of the New England Patriots. A half hour later, I was like, we're back! Everything looks great!
Yeah, the quick game.
The offense is awesome!
That was actually, in case anyone's wondering, in a text exchange amongst all of us, once the Eagles took a 16-0 lead, you're like, I can't wait to be first overall, choose Caleb Williams first overall and have Lincoln Riley as the next head coach of the Patriots.
And I was like, maybe Lincoln Riley. I texted it to you guys, and then I was like, I'm just going to tweet this out and see what kind of reaction I get. And then, you know, not 45 minutes later, Mac Jones throws a touchdown, and I'm like, okay, I like this. Let's go. I may have overreacted.
Well, we in the media overreact a lot. And so all Overreaction Monday is basically about the stuff that you, the fan, we, the fan, and all of us here on the show are talking about and seeing how the media might overreact to one particular result. And you've got 10 such overreactions.
We got 10 items, right? And as always, we're going to look ahead and try to figure out what we're going to overreact to next Monday.
That'll be at the very end of our podcast. Again, we appreciate everybody taking this in. It is now time, post week one, with the exception of Monday Night Football, which is happening later tonight between the Bills and the Jets. It is time for the first ever in-season edition of Overreaction Monday, the podcast.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, you have the floor.
Rich, I have my sheet. Are you ready?
I am indeed, sir.
Here we go. Number one up, post week one. The 49ers are the best team in the NFL, and Brock Purdy, top five quarterback. Let's just throw some numbers at you. Purdy was 19 of 29. He looked as sharp as sharp
he
can
sure
be.
Did. He sure did.
Coming off of the injury and the rehab, and he's back. 220 yards, two touchdowns, 111 passer rating.
If you
Niners
had just stopped,
dominated the Steelers.
If you had just stopped at the 49ers are the best team in the NFL.
Nah, that's not an overreaction.
But saying Brock Purdy is a top five quarterback. So let me ask you this question.
Top five.
Let me just ask you this question. Must win game. You take Mahomes, right?
Against who?
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Do you take Patrick Mahomes in a must-win game?
Is he throwing to Sky Moore?
Right.
And is Kelsey playing?
Do you take... You got to answer me seriously if I'm asking you seriously.
Yeah, he's the best
do
player
in the NFL. Do you take Joe Burrow as in a must-win game?
Not after yesterday.
Okay.
You're asking me after yesterday.
But you're overreacting. You have a must-win game. You choose five quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's put it this way. Do you choose Brock Purdy as one of those five quarterbacks?
Well, let's run down the list. I think you take one of the guys playing tonight, either Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers.
That's one.
I love Patrick Mahomes.
Two.
I got to put Tua on the list after what he did yesterday. Let's keep scrolling. I got to take Matt Stafford after what he did yesterday.
All I'm basically saying is he's not a top five quarterback yet. He has the ability to become that. He has the team around him to help him become that. He has the weaponry to become that. I will say that's an overreaction to start this
off.
I've
been a Purdy denier, so I think I might be coming around.
Okay. What else?
Rich?
Yes.
I just mentioned the Bengals. They got thoroughly dismantled by the Browns yesterday.
24-3.
I was really impressed.
Me too.
The Browns are the best team in the AFC North.
That's an overreaction. I still think it's the Bengals, and I know that's going to really
piss
off.
You still think it's the Bengals?
I do. I think top to bottom,
wow,
it is the Bengals, and that the Browns have their number. They do. I will still just say, again, last year, if we were doing this podcast last year, week two's podcast would be exactly what you said in the overreaction segment on the Monday of week two, which was the Bengals are in trouble. And I yes. said at the time, yes. they are not in trouble.
Maybe I was a year early. I could have been early on that.
No, I do believe, again, Joe Burrow started 0-2 last year. Part of that is he had appendicitis. He had his appendix removed. He didn't have any time in training camp. He had no time whatsoever when it was time to actually have rubber meeting the road. This has happened again because of what he had happened to him in late July. Thankfully for him, what looked like an Achilles was just a calf. And yesterday that held up with Myles Garrett coming at him. How about Ja'Marr Chase calling them a bunch of elves, which I think
so
doesn't
funny.
Really help the situation.
So funny.
But they don't play each other until week 18 anyway.
Joe Burrow literally had the worst football game he's ever played.
I know that. And it happens. And I will just say that's a one-shot thing and move on. And still, I'm not moving off the Bengals are winning the division. My preseason take that they win the division. The Browns were the better team yesterday. The Browns had a terrific day yesterday. All said and done, I do not believe they are the best team in the AFC North. I will still take the Bengals in that regard.
Let me just run down the Browns schedule coming up for you. They're at Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football. That could be another bloodbath if the same Steelers team shows up. Home for Tennessee. That's possibly 3-0 in a home date with Baltimore. Ravens, look, I know they won yesterday and they covered. And Lamar got the new wide receivers involved. But the offense didn't run smoothly as everyone hoped.
They have winnable games.
And now J.K. Dobbins is out for the year. Okay?
They have winnable games at Indianapolis.
They're 4-0 into the bye week with a massive showdown in week 6 against San Francisco. Winnable games in 7, 8, 9. Browns team, if everything breaks right, they could be what? 7-1?
But you're all assuming, and everyone's assuming, that Seattle's going to still be garbage in week 8. And you're going to also talk about how Denver is going to be a beatable team when they actually had a chance to win. At the Rams coming into the season, you're like, well, that's going to be easy. Maybe not so much. I don't know if you can look at the schedule and say anything other than the fact there are some winnable games for a team that looked like the way they did. I'm just calling this an overreaction. What else do you have over there, Chris?
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yeah. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited.
That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki. Loki.
Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
Rich, coming into the season, who is high on the Green Bay Packers winning the NFC North?
That would be you.
Yes. Well, guess what? You know what? You know how when an outgoing president leaves and he leaves the little note in the Resolute
Desk?
Aaron
Rodgers did about ownership?
In the Resolute Desk, okay? Well, Brett Favre left it for Aaron Rodgers, and now it appears Aaron Rodgers has passed on Bears ownership to Jordan Love. The NFC North is once again Green Bay's division.
You cannot say this is out of the realm. I will say that is not an overreaction, that there is a path to this being the case. I will still stay with the Detroit Lions. Let's not forget, in this day of overreaction Monday, that there's more than just Sunday to overreact to. Thursday.
Oh, I forgot about
happened.
Thursday already.
It happened.
I forgot about
it's
it.
It's not yesterday's news. The Lions will still show up to host the Seahawks, who had only 3 yards okay. in the second half before 9 garbage yards in the final drive of the game for 12 full yards. We always do the math for you here on Overreaction Monday in the second half. The Lions and the Packers play each other on week 3 Monday night in Lambeau Field's home opener. That's going to be dynamite to look forward to. For the moment, you can absolutely say that Jordan Love and the Packers, it's LaFleur. They haven't lost to the Bears since LaFleur became head coach.
Underrated. We need to start talking about this guy as one of the great coaches.
And
in the
if they perform as well as they did in week 1, LaFleur will be up for coach of the year, which he was never under consideration for because it was definitely always Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Put it all together, that's not a bad, you know, concept. So I'll say that's not an overreaction. What else?
Couple quick numbers for you. Jordan Love had 245 yards and a 123 passer rating in 29 games against the Bears. Aaron Rodgers averaged 240 per game and a 109 rating.
Dude.
Love's better. That's all I'm saying. Love's better than Aaron Rodgers.
Poor Bears fans, man.
Just pick a new team at this point.
Oh, boy.
All right. Part of my great Sunday text overreaction is that the quick game is back.
In New England.
It is back. Bill O'Brien has fixed Mac Jones and the Patriots offense in just 1 week.
I'll call this an overreaction just because, again, it's just 1 week. That said, as I said on the show today, the eye test, Mac Jones looked way more like first-year Mac Jones than second-year Mac Jones.
Agreed.
The offense looked way more like first-year Mac Jones than last year's Mac Jones. 100%. Somebody like Kendrick Bourne is probably available on your waiver wire this week in fantasy. I would be all over him. He was targeted. He made catches. He was in the end zone. Yep. He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
All that said, I'll just still call this an overreaction. Just 1 week, we need to see more of it. And if you're correct, I hope for your sake you're correct, because the Dolphins are coming in on Sunday night. And if Mac's got to go here, you may not have a point here. So I'll just call this an overreaction for the moment.
Now, will they throw 54 times a game this year? No. I would reckon to say this is the most he'll throw in a game all year. But
I don't know.
The 316, that's nice to see. The 3 touchdowns, really nice to see.
Oh, yeah.
8 different players caught passes. I don't think that probably happened once last year.
Of course not. It definitely looked different past the eye test. It's just 1 weekend. What else do you have?
Rich, I like this one. I like this one a lot. Just let me throw some numbers out here for you before I get to the topic. Mm-hmm. If a player makes 7 straight Pro Bowls to start their career, that's pretty good, right?
It is very good.
What about 4 of those years also being All-Pro?
Very good.
In 7 years, 8,000 receiving yards, 60-plus touchdowns.
I think I know who this silhouette is going to turn into.
You would say this person is on a path.
Yes.
And Tyreek Hill is on a path to being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot Hall of Famer? Oh, if you just said Hall of Famer, Chris.
Rich, but that doesn't make it over an overreaction.
No,
first ballot Hall of Famer.
That is an overreaction, because first ballot Hall of Famers are Randy Moss. First ballot Hall of Famers are Jerry Rice. T.O. wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. My guy, Michael Irvin. No, that's the way Hall of Famers vote. Hall of Famer, the Hall of Fame voters vote. Hall of Fame voters, for some reason, hold a completely different standard to wide receivers, that Jerry Rice was a first ballot Hall of Famer. So you can only be in his area code. Being in his area code is not enough. Like, you literally have to be a next door neighbor of his.
Rich, he's going to get 2,000 yards this year. He might pass Michael Irvin on the all-time receptions list this season.
I get it. And he's on an incredible path. I do believe he's ticketed for Canton right now. He's in a Hall of Fame path for Canton. What he did on Sunday proved once again he is completely unguardable and uncoverable right now.
Uncoverable.
Exactly. And Tua he's got the right mix of coach, quarterback, scheme.
Yep.
Okay. And Jalen Waddle's there to help make sure that you can't put 4 guys on him.
Right.
Right. Right. So it's kind of a perfect setup for him right now. I said he reminded me, the last person I saw go on a run like this was Antonio Brown.
I think that's a pretty good comp.
It just a couple of times in the last
with more
few
speed.
Years.
Antonio Brown with more speed.
A couple of times in the last few years off the field, whether this is fair or not, there's been investigations. So true. I'm just saying, first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got to get through the end of his career successfully.
He's age 29.
He's got to get up there in the world of Jerry Rice in terms of yards to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But in terms of Hall of Famer, I would be stunned if he does not make it.
Ooh.
Right now. He is the best receiver in the game. Mm-hmm. He has become the best receiver in the game. He is regarded as the best receiver in the game. He was voted as the in the top 10 as the highest wide receiver not named Justin Jefferson.
Do you think we maybe jumped the gun on anointing Justin Jefferson a little too?
Because Justin Jefferson has the record for most receiving yards and receptions and touchdowns through the first three years of a playing career. And those records are also the same for the fourth year. So he's adding to it every game he plays this year. Put it all together, Tyreek Hill has taken a step up after leaving Kansas City, which nobody saw coming. Another metric that could put him in the Hall of Fame, and I think it will. First ballot, though, I'll parse it out. Overreaction there. Hall of Fame, not an overreaction. What else?
Watching the early games yesterday, one of the things that really struck me was that, man, we really jumped the gun on the Steelers. I think we can all calm down about the Steelers playoff talk, myself included.
I'll say that's an overreaction again because it's just 1 week. Talk to me in
Mike Tomlin called it the worst home loss of his career.
I don't know. And Chris Long on the show today said they looked unprepared, which is a word you rarely hear, if ever, about a Mike Tomlin team. I'm going to just go under the guise of bury the tape, move on. What a big game against Cleveland coming up for Pittsburgh.
Oh, massive.
In week two.
Too early to say
must win? I guess you can. Because again, Owen two
is a little bit different now with the 17th game, and we saw Cincinnati, start 0-2 last year.
The best part about the loss for Pittsburgh, it was an out of conference loss. It's one of those things that's low on the totem pole.
But it was a really good measuring stick, though, of where you're at in terms of the elite teams in the league, and a lot of people. Pittsburgh was kind of a hot bandwagon-y team, and they're kind of showed they're not there yet.
I'm not ready to throw the Steeler playoff talk out. But in this AFC pool that is really, really deep, you cannot afford to have six losses by the end of October. You just can't.
Yeah.
And having one right now is really rough when you lose the way that they lost. I'll call this an overreaction and ask you to move on.
Well, speaking of bury the tape games, and teams were kind of, they were a playoff team last year and could they do this year?
Where's your Giants talk here?
Of all the teams that should be panicking the most, the Giants at the top of the list. They're in the most trouble. I can't
say that's an overreaction.
What was that last night?
I can't say that's an overreaction. Darren Waller, that was supposed to be the BFF and the comforter.
Dude.
The security blanket.
You just talk about how that game swings. They are driving. Could they score a touchdown? Maybe. It looked probable. They were going to get points.
Yes.
Bad snap over his head.
It went downhill.
All of a sudden, it's long field goal attempt, block, touchdown, pick six. What is happening? It's 16-0, and that game was over in the first quarter.
Yeah, how about that? The Eagles and the Cowboys both took 16-0 leads. The Patriots came back. The Giants el-foldoed. That's the difference. Wow. That's the difference between whether you have hope or not. That's the difference between what you can hang your hat on moving forward or not. I am genuinely concerned about that offensive line up front. If you can look at the Giants' schedule, if we can call that up, and you take a look at future defensive lines that are going to be gunning for Daniel Jones and trying to stop Saquon Barkley on the way to Daniel Jones, and then the receivers, I don't know who particularly scares you. They're fast. They're speedy. I mean, they talked about it over and over again during the blowout last night with Chris Collinsworth about how fast these receivers are. The problem is it doesn't matter how fast they are if your quarterback is on the ground fast, too fast. How does San Francisco's defensive line try that one on for size? Buffalo's defensive line. Miami, as you know, Vic Fangio got in the grill of Justin Herbert on Sunday. How does the Jets defensive line look to you? Max Crosby is coming to town. You saw what he was able to do with that defense that looked pretty darn stout in Denver. Dallas again. New England, Green Bay, Philadelphia twice and three times, and then Aaron Donald in between it. This is a problem. That's why I would panic. If you cannot protect Daniel Jones and run it against an elite front, and it's a wrap like that in just 1 week, I cannot say that that's an overreaction.
Yeah,
Chris.
I put out the poll question during the show today on at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter. Team that should be panicking the most. The
Giants won it, I bet.
The Giants were 65%. Was that going to be your pick? We never came back to it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It would have been my pick. More than Seattle. More than
Cincinnati.
Yeah. And then Pittsburgh as well. Pittsburgh is concerning, but not like the Giants. What else you have over there?
I still can't believe that.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
You know, we had a great day yesterday. The NFC South. They had a division game, so obviously someone was going to get a loss there. But three other wins in division. How about the NFC South having two teams make the playoffs?
I'll say that's an overreaction. Tennessee might, by the end of the day, win a lot of those gutty out. It's not pretty street fight type games. They lost that one to New Orleans.
Field goals. Yeah.
Atlanta and Carolina. I don't think either of those teams taking on any of the teams we just mentioned, San Francisco or Philadelphia or Miami or any of the teams that look terrific in the first week, I think they'll have trouble holding up against them. And then you have Tampa, which again was a pleasant surprise with the way that Baker Mayfield looked. If they can play defense like they did, they shut Justin Jefferson out, man, in the second half of that game. And then Mayfield did his usual moxie fest. So
I thought that game kind of told me more about Minnesota and where they're at this year than Tampa being elevated.
We will see. I'll just call for the moment when I think two teams from the North will make it, two teams from the East will make it, one from the West will make it, and one team from the South will make it. So that leaves one more spot. Can two teams from the West make it? I mean, I just went higher register with the Seahawks and the Rams.
Yeah.
I don't know. You may be right, but for the moment, I'll just call this an overreaction.
All right, a couple more, Rich. Let's just finish this up. You know what's great about the 90s? So many great things.
Okay.
But in football specifically, every single year, we knew it was going to be San Francisco and Dallas in the NFC Championship game, and the winner was going to the Super Bowl, and the winner was probably going to win the Super Bowl. I think we're headed for that again. 90s throwback. Niners, Cowboys, NFC Championship game.
It's funny how in our season preview, you were like Cowboys, Eagles, NFC Championship game. And I'm like, maybe the Niners can prevent that, but it would be, you know, the Northeast corridor in Philadelphia. And then, of course, right, Dallas involved and, you know, all those bounty stories from back in the day about, you know, Jimmy talking about Buddy putting his fat ass in the locker room and all of that, and how great it would be to hit the Wayback Machine there. This is another Wayback Machine game. We saw it in the divisional round last year, and it wasn't much of a contest. Week one, sitting here right now, I think we are we could be headed for that. The Eagles still need to be heard from, and I understand that they took a big lead and then had to hold on to it for dear life. But getting out of New England with a week one win.
It's not nothing.
Excuse me. With Tom Brady showing up for the first time as Patriot Emeritus. For the first time as I'm happy to be back here in New England as a retired player to put my number 12 jersey back on and wave all to the Sullys and Fitzes.
It was emotional.
Like, to win that game, it doesn't matter if you've won by 1 point or whatever,
okay,
you got out of there. I don't want to discount the Eagles just yet. So I will call this an overreaction, but a delicious one nonetheless.
I mean, it would be pretty sweet.
Of course it would be. Certainly if they both show up in week, what would that be? 21? like they did in week one. So, yeah, I'll take that.
Let's go. All right, last one. Maybe one of the biggest surprises of Sunday for me, because I've been one of the more vocal people saying that the Rams were tanking and that they weren't, they were silently tanking and then they weren't going to have a good year. And McVay should have went to Amazon or whatever, been on TV. Matthew Stafford, like maybe let's shop him somewhere else. Matthew Stafford and his band of head and phone rookies will have the Rams back in the playoffs this year. Rich, you can't name any of these people.
I know.
Tutu Atwell, Puka Nacua. Who is Bryson Hopkins?
Nacua Matata.
No idea who any of these people are. Matthew Stafford, 24 of 38, 334 yards. More importantly, zero sacks.
And the defense looked amazing. The defense.
In the
that
face.
Was the comeback player of the year with DK Metcalf, who had already scored in the first half.
Sure did.
And Tyler Lockett. And also Jackson Smith and Jigba. And Kenneth Walker, the third, who was running quite well in the first half.
Played well.
They had 3 yards on defense until the last garbage drive netted them 9 more. They played a spectacular game. Without a doubt, the most pleasant surprise of week number one, although not to the 12s. I will still say it's an overreaction for them to make the playoffs. Let's see what they do this coming week against the 49ers at home. What a terrific test of their realness. And I honestly, what it definitely shows, though, is Nine still has it.
He still
Nine
has
still
it.
Has
he
it.
Was making throws.
And the coach still has it. And the GM still has it. What that's what this game has proved, that whatever happened last year, the injury bug wrapped them last year because it took away their quarterback, it took away their future first ballot Hall of Fame defender.
Yep.
It took away their top wide receiver. It took away their momentum and everything else and their hope.
Now they've got coming off a Super Bowl win.
Now they've got nothing but hope. Yep. To go into Seattle and coming up with that first week win
huge.
Gives them a huge leg up. It's a road division win. They will have a setup right now moving forward for a tiebreak over Seattle if they can beat Seattle again at home. And that's the only other team, I think, in their division that might battle them for a wild card spot, because we're all putting San Francisco in as the NFC West champs.
And Arizona out, obviously. Oh,
correct. Right. Although, I want to talk about a team that's not tanking.
Well, Rich, I said it last week on the preview show, will not have the worst record in the NFL. And
I forgot. I called that. I didn't say that was an overreaction either. I know.
They never know.
But they clearly drove themselves to the stadium instead of taking the bus.
They had the fire. Anyway, great job by the Rams. That was awesome.
That was great. That was awesome. And great job out of you. That's 10 completely different overreaction Monday subjects than the ones that we did for you on the Rich Eisen Show in our segment for Monday. That included a lot on the Dallas Cowboys, Deion Sanders, college football. So be sure to check that out on our YouTube feed. If you are watching this podcast, which you can on our YouTube stream, our YouTube feed, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We now finish up Overreaction Monday the way we will finish up every single edition of Overreaction Monday, with a prediction as to what we will overreact about next week. Chris, what do you have for us to start that one off?
Rich, I'm making this prediction of our overreaction. I don't know what's going to happen tonight at MetLife.
Okay.
But I think I know what's going to happen next week. I think we're going to come in here and I'm going to be like, Rich, the Dallas Cowboys should be the Super Bowl favorites.
Which is your way of saying they're going to beat the Jets next week.
I do think so. I do think they're going to beat the Jets next week. And I think it's going to look good. I think that defense is a beast.
Okay.
Look, offensive line issues has been what we've been talking about all offseason about the New York Jets. Can they keep Aaron Rodgers upright?
Yeah, but
can they keep him healthy? We saw what Dallas did against Daniel Jones, 7 sacks. I'm not going to say they're going to get 7 against the Jets, but I think we're going to come in here next week and talk about how dominant Dallas looked, and they're real Super Bowl contenders, and they should be the favorites.
But if they beat the Jets after, say, the Jets win on Monday night or acquit themselves of looking good on Monday night or better than last year or obviously improved on Monday night, how is that an overreaction that they're the Super Bowl favorites?
Super Bowl favorites?
Favorites, like the team to beat.
Well, they're still behind several teams on the odds. Buffalo, Kansas City, all these teams, all right. Cincinnati are still ahead of Dallas You know, when it comes to Vegas. So I'm just saying, look, they're going to be the favorites now. Maybe Kansas City loses to Jacksonville.
Well, and that's interesting how you say that, because let me get to my future overreaction to wrap up this edition of Overreaction Monday, the podcast.
What have you got?
My future overreaction after week two's Sunday is all in the books, and we're sitting here for the second in-season edition of Overreaction Monday is the Kansas City Chiefs are in deep trouble.
Oh!
That is going to be the conversation, and I believe now what I will believe then, that this will be an overreaction. The Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know, we haven't heard a thing about Travis Kelce's knee. Nothing, we have now gotten to the Monday after week one. There hasn't been a single update on whether Chris Jones is going to get the dollars and cents that he wants. And if Kelce is sitting out next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Chris Jones is still holding out, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are opening up their home schedule in front of Duval County in the pool and all of that stuff, and Jacksonville in a thong, and they got Kansas City in their midst, I think they're looking good to win that game.
Oh.
And the Chiefs will be 0-2, and everyone's going to be like, they're in deep trouble. And I will say then what I'm telling you now, this would be an overreaction. That is my prediction for next week's Overreaction Monday, sir.
Well, Compton said they were going to miss the playoffs.
I know that. He's out of his mind. He's out of his mind putting himself in Canton. Well, that'll wrap it up for this edition of Overreaction Monday, the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. You can, again, watch us on our YouTube page, youtube.com/RichEisen Show every single Monday. We ask you to listen to us and follow us and make sure that Overreaction Monday shows up in your mobile device or however you take in your podcast just because you've hit that button. We greatly appreciate that. Every single Tuesday, part of the Rich Eisen Show, Rich Eisen Podcast Network that is now underway. What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, their first guest on this coming Tuesday show, their inaugural program, will be the great Hall of Fame GOAT, Charles Woodson. Nice. We'll be able to join them.
That's awesome.
On the first ever edition of What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Please give that show a follow as well. Good job, Christopher.
Great job, Rich.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your football week. We will chat with you on the next edition of Overreaction Monday, the pod. Catch the Rich Eisen Show every single day on the Roku channel, 12 to 3 Eastern, for free.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.